Welcome back, everyone. Drinks with Friends. Your co-hosts are here, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ray. It's a fine Sunday, holiday weekend.
That's right, holiday weekend. Yeah. Any big plans?
Not supposed to rain and shit, so I'm going to celebrate that three-day weekend. I'm one of those people that doesn't really, like, celebrate the reason for the day. You know, shout out to all those dudes that died fighting for the North in the Civil War. Thanks. The rest of y'all, sorry y'all got put into a bad situation. Thanks for that too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a weird thing. I have military family, and you know, like, actually, it reminds me. There's a tweet that went viral where the U.S. Army this week was like, "What are, you know, how is serving in the Army changed your life?" Thinking that they were going to get all these, like, really positive things.
No, PTSD, suicide, alcoholism.
Yo, the vets came through and was like,
debilitating body pains, loss of limbs,
army broken fucked families, up my life.
You're right. Yeah,
like on this, and on and this on receipt and on after and receipt, on. And it's like
near homelessness, VA losing files, not existent services for veterans, loss of family, friends.
Yeah. So it's kind of tough, like, when you have, like, a holiday like this, where, because it feels like you're just paying lip service without actually, like, it's that thing where it's like, rah, rah, yay, I love you, yay. Yeah. Did you do anything for us? No, I had a barbecue.
Right. Because the government's doing that on the large scale. It's like, right, we gave you that extra day off, even though we're not going to do anything to improve,
right,
like, the
services. But you got a day off.
Provided.
But you got a day off. Yeah, because I have some friends also, like, not just on family ties, but I have some friends who have served and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, in an effort to understand a perspective that is not my own, I carefully and respectfully always try to ask them about their experience and to share what they're willing to share about their time served, especially with considering that, like, our generation or those who are close to us would have served in Afghanistan and Iraq,
right,
which is deeply problematic.
True.
And to get their perspective on the experiences they had in such a situation, you know, and I care about my friends, I care about my family.
No,
but aside from that, like, the kind of war machine thing, like, I'm not on board, bro. Sorry.
Right, I can't co-sign it.
Don't at me.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I'll have that discussion with you. I ain't never scared.
So I just, like, wasted my time over my breath. Anyway. Shout out to our sponsors, Andro DSM, Power Up,
and Suzy Sweet Treat. Seeking greeting is love, not cocaine. Oh, man. It's been a wild week. Is reverse gentrification a thing? Or is it still just gentrification? Like, do you have to put the reverse in front of it for it to mean something?
No, I think gentrification is gentrification is gentrification. Okay. Like,
okay.
Yeah, you know.
So, Black America has a new king gentrifier in Lil Nas X.
Okay, first off, bruh.
Then again, can you really gentrify something that you created?
Old Town Road bangs so hard.
Oh, I'm a fan.
Like, I didn't want to like it.
Right.
But I got into it. Actually, it was the radio.
Mm.
I do the Sirius XM thing, satellite radio.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, just cruising, whatever, doing my thing. And that song came on through, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah. For me, it was social media. Like, I was on Instagram, and I get, like, 30-second clips. And I'm like, what are these niggas doing? Like, what is this song?
Yeah. And the thing is, I had known about it before, abstractly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd heard the stories, and I was familiar with the thing. I just didn't put, like, the two and two together.
No.
Like, oh, I knew this song, and I knew that there was this thing happening with, like, Billy Ray Cyrus and somebody named Lil Nas X.
Right.
Okay, cool. And then there's this song. And then once I put it together, I was like, oh.
This is a song.
And it's only, like, 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So before I could even, like, get my bearings,
it's over.
It's over. And I think that might also be, like, what's so great about it is its brevity.
Yeah.
Like, it gives you the thing, and then it just moves on.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's almost like you get sucker punched because you don't expect to like something. Like,
I think it's more the less violent thing is, like, I feel like it's more like a just, like, meeting somebody. It's like a handshake. Like, okay. And like, you like the person that you just met.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, nice to meet you. And they leave before you even get a chance to chop it up. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I wanted to talk to that dude. And he's gone.
For me, then, I don't know. I stick by my sucker punch because it's like you get hit by something and something unexpected completely. And then it's like you want to be mad about it, but then it's like it's over. And then you're like, the more you think about it, you're like, you know what? I deserve that. Like, and I think that's what it is. Like, yeah, I think I'm ready for that. Like, huh, I kind of want, like, all right, what's next?
Yeah.
Like, what happens from here?
Okay, give me some background on Lil Nas X.
All right, so Lil Nas X is this kid, basically fresh out of high school, class of 2018, right? He graduates high school during that summer, decides he's going to put some shit together and, like, put it on SoundCloud. Fucking around, he makes this hip-hop country song, puts it on SoundCloud. Few months later, you know, the shit gets shared around and it's the biggest song on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
He releases it to broader streaming services, things like that. People pick it up, go social media and stuff, picks it up, goes crazy for it, charts on the Billboard country charts.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happened, Billboard's like, nah, son,
this ain't country.
Yeah, this isn't country.
This ain't country.
This doesn't qualify. Get it up out of here. They remove it. Black Twitter goes to work. I was like, yo, they're doing this kid dirty. He made this song. It was doing really well. It was breaking barriers, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And Billboard removed it. They threw the racism card. Like, it's only because he's a young black kid that they don't want to let him shine on the country chart. So then all of a sudden, all these other artists start coming to his defense or standing up for Billboard. Like, nah, this shouldn't really be country, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Then all of a sudden, you get Uncle Billy Ray coming out of nowhere, pulling up in his fucking conversion van with the unicorn painted on the side, ready to throw the football around. Like, wait a minute. This kid's out here doing something. Let him be great. In fact, I'm going to help him be great. Let's do this remix.
Jumped on the remix and killed it.
And killed it. And stayed true to himself doing it. He wasn't on like some fake assimilating the flow, none of that like that. Like, he did his country twang thing.
Like, man.
Yeah, so then it gets, once Billy Ray's on it, I mean, I can't really argue anymore. Plus, Billboard don't want that smoke. Billboard doesn't want the bad press that it's already been getting and all this, that, and the other. So they're like, all right, we'll put it back on the 200 charts. It comes in real low. Then all of a sudden, that shit shoots to number one.
Because here's the thing you need to understand. Okay, Achy Breaky Heart was a monster smash for country music.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the numbers that Achy Breaky Heart did in its time, like...
What was that, like, early 90s?
It was like 1990, 91, something like that, right? The numbers on that song, on that album, can't nobody today touch those kinds of numbers.
Right.
Like, so let's, like, to put it in perspective, your favorite musician, whoever that might be, your favorite band, your favorite rapper, can't touch Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah. Artists don't go diamond anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, sorry, that was my own little segue. Like, let's not short sell Billy Ray on such an accomplishment, because that shit's kind of rare. And he did that, and so that when my man shows up, Mr. Hannah Montana.
So I want to give a big congratulations to Billy Ray Cyrus he technically can no longer be considered a one hit wonder. It took him almost 30 years.
Anything is possible.
Right. It took him almost 30 years to break out of that title, but he officially now has two
number ones. Yo.
Like.
Because listen. He's at that place where he could definitely, like, put out a nostalgia tour.
Oh, yeah.
And if he were to just drop Old Town Road in the middle of his set, that crowd would go buck wild,
bro. You know Lil Nas X is coming here.
Is he?
He's going to be a 515 Alive.
Really?
Yeah, along with Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, you didn't know Des Moines was putting it down like that? I knew about Wiz.
Yeah, I knew. But yeah, but I saw the poster going down. And it was like, so this nigga's really going to come out and do probably three versions of one song. Like, there's no way this is longer than a 10-minute set.
Right. He's going to show up. He's mostly DJ.
Yeah.
He's going to do a couple songs.
Right. A couple versions, variations of the same song.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I mean, this kid is making it, and it's crazy because people are mad. What could be called purists are angry. not only that, but off this, so the kid got a label deal.
Yeah.
Which I personally think is dumb, but at this point. But he's young. He'll learn that. And hopefully he's done this. This song is big enough where, really, if he's smart about it, he can ride this shit out for the rest of his life. Like, there's no reason that he won't be able to. Yeah. Now, too, that he got a deal with Wrangler
Jeans. Yeah.
And people are, like, Nike mad about this shit. Like people are, never again, my whole family wears Wranglers. You know, this is all we wear out on the ranch. And this is what you're going to do. This is who you give a deal to. Excuse my racist accent that I'm putting on right now. But it just came out.
Bruh. Okay, so listen. Man. The racism is so strong.
Bruh. You could smell it, like, through your screen.
So, okay. This actually brings up the bigger thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the thing about country music and black people in America, like, this is not the first artist of color to participate in the country thing. Thinking of Darius Rucker,
yeah,
or even Cowboy Troy,
yeah.
One can even argue
Nelly,
Kane Brown,
yeah,
and Nelly had his duets,
Snoop.
And that kind of thing. Yeah, Snoop has done his shit with Willie Nelson, mm-hmm. and all that, right? And even Beyonce went on the CMTs.
Neville Brothers?
Or went on the CMT on the CMAs.
Right.
Sang with the Dixie Chicks and did her song Daddy Lessons, which is definitely a country song.
Absolutely.
Because this bitch is from Texas.
Yeah.
Okay? But by and large, despite these efforts, we're still remotely invisible for country acts. Because the thing is, so Beyonce went on the TV show and did the thing and showed her ass and did the Beyonce thing.
Right.
Flanked by the Dixie Chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of supporting that choice, CMT decided to just scrub the internet of the whole experience.
Right.
Like it never happened.
Yeah.
Because of racism.
Right.
Because of racism. Because their fan base,
mm-hmm.
stepped up and was like,
what is this? I don't want to see this dance and jigaboo on my screen, basically.
Basically.
Yeah.
She doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
And that's always been the conversation that seems to be with country music from the sake of purists or traditionalists or whatever, that we don't belong in that conversation, in that genre, in that ballpark.
But, I mean, that same conversation happens not just with country. I mean, it's any genre that's perceived to be white, rock, punk, country, classical, like,
yeah,
you know, and aside from classical, black people basically invented all these genres of music, and it's crazy how quick people are to forget that, and it's a choice to forget it. Like, I feel like people that are mad about this, like, have no clue about the actual history of Elvis, but they're probably a huge fan. They probably got a velvet painting of that bastard somewhere in their house.
Oh, yeah, no, I'd be checking Elvis fans all the goddamn time, and to watch them get so defensive of their king,
yeah.
is very laughable.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the thing.
Not only
was
he a thief,
he
was a pedophile. But,
right,
you know, whatever.
Right. Right, this is your king?
Yeah.
okay.
I feel like Killmonger every time somebody like talks about Elvis.
Right.
Like,
this your king? Okay, well, but that being said, you know, we are two black men in Iowa.
Right.
What is your experience? What is your relationship with the country aesthetic and country music? And how do you feel about, I guess, more abstractly? We can get back into the Lil Nas X thing and whatever, but like,
I've always tell people, especially because of the generation that we come from, as older millennials, we're in that weird place where we were cognizant of the death of the alpha.
Yeah.
In the sense that we were the first ones to really be about, like, cross-genre fans of different artists, different sounds, different types of music.
Yeah.
I mean, we came up in the... I mean, like, of course, there's the mixtape era, but we came up in the burning CDs era where you could literally go and download anything from anybody except from Madonna, because that bitch was greedy. but it changed the landscape and it changed our taste in music. Like, yeah, there's always going to be a soft spot in my heart, particularly for funk, because that's what I grew up on. That's what my mom played. That's what she put on Saturday right. morning when she was cleaning the house. Like,
yeah.
regardless of whatever I like and grew into and all this, that, and the other, like, funk will always have this special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Just for a lot of black people, Motown or New Jack Swing or this, that, and the other. Like, yeah. all that shit is always going to be there forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And having not been raised on country through my developmental years, the 90s and the aughts, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Old country I'm cool with because my grandparents listened to it. Like, yeah. like my granddad would fuck with, like, he would blues, jazz, some gospel.
And sidebar, then, but, have you heard like Ray Charles's country western records?
And that's what I was
it's
getting
so
to.
Fucking good.
That's what I'm getting to. Like, so I have a lot of respect for old country.
Yeah.
Because old country has a lot of, it carries its roots in gospel and blues.
Right.
And again, that's an integral part of my childhood coming up. And so old country, your Ray Charles, your Willie Nelsons, hell, Johnny Cash, things like that. I have a lot of respect for the storytelling, the pace of it, the feeling and emotion behind it.
Yeah.
But then when we were growing up and all of a sudden country started to go like rock pop, with like your Garth Brooks and your Blake Shelton's and your these guys,
Tim
Rascal Flatts,
Tim McGraw,
yeah, Shania Twain's and all them. That's when it lost me. And then we're now grown to include to basically be twangy pop, you know, because I'm like where Taylor Swift started out, and like your I mean, even the Dixie Chicks, whose message I'm a huge fan of. But their music, I just can't really be like, hey, I'm a bop to this. That's not that's not me.
Yeah.
That's really where it lost me. And then, as you said, being two black men living in Iowa, and then for me having spent time in small Iowa towns and being, like, entrenched in it, like, people that really had, like, the chewing tobacco circles in their Wrangler pockets and, like, shit
right,
like that.
Right,
like,
got burned into their jeans because of it, like, that's what where tobacco sits.
Right.
Right.
I'm, like, going to some dude's house in the middle of the country where he has, like, legit taxidermy big game from where he took his farm money and gone out and hunted zebras and shit. And I'm like, oh, you killing stuff in Africa? I gotta go. Like,
right? So, oh, you like killing African things?
Yeah, I gotta, I shouldn't be here.
It was lovely meeting you. Bye.
Right. Sorry, farmer star. Don't be pulling my pants in there. He finds out it's going to be a bad time for me. So having lived that, I still struggle to, like, I mean, I guess I struggle to accept it. For what it is, like, you could call me almost a country purist in the sense that, not racially speaking, but as far as the musicianship of it goes, like, I miss the old...
And there are those traditional types that are like, Florida Georgia Line is garbage.
Yeah,
it's that thing of like, there's always that push against like what's new. Because I mean, I know the old hip hop heads that hate what's happening, you know, in the culture right now with like the Migos and Cardi and all that kind of shit too. Like, this isn't lyrical; it's trash. Mm-hmm. Like Tupac forever, whatever. Right. There's always that generational gap.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the name of the game.
Right.
Like. People that fucked with Sinatra hated the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
The people that fucked with the Beatles hated
Zeppelin.
Right.
Yeah.
And so on and so on and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah.
And that's just the march of time, because there's always a generational battle that always seems to kind of be at the cusp of culture and art. Right.
Right.
But that being said, like, you know, like. On the instrumental side, I've always had a little like affinity for like bluegrass,
because
they'll jam it out and they'll take it in some interesting places, you know, like when it's
with
good
the chord structures,
when it's really good, you know, like taking solos and you know sing-alongs and like it feels communal, it feels like church, you know, and that's the thing, is like when it really comes down to it, like all this stuff is really rooted in Southern tradition of what black folks have. Provided.
Yeah, Negro spirituals moved to gospel music, moved to country, blues, bluegrass.
Part of the thing is, and you know, there have been studies on this, and this is not anything new or groundbreaking, but if you're hearing it for the first time, demographically speaking, socioeconomically speaking, hip-hop fans and country fans are like cousins.
Yeah, first cousins.
Yeah, like you're splitting hairs. If you decode all of this stuff, whether it's drinking beers in your pickup truck,
right?
Or sipping lean
in your Lamborghini,
sipping lean in the Lambo,
right?
Like you're literally talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Country Girl, Shake It for Me is a shake that ass anthem.
It's true.
Like don't play Honky Tonk Badonkadonk. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy,
mm-hmm.
Bruh.
Yeah.
But this is also. Well, but here's also the thing about if you want to talk about traditional though, the erasure of the black contributions to the Western narrative.
Yeah.
Like
from be it cowboys.
No, cowboy is a racial slur.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean for black and Latino and Mexicans basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who those cowboys.
Right.
Like. So it's interesting how in that sense of gentrification to take this thing like it's like. White dudes that love getting called nigga. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's and I, again to go back to social media, I saw something on Twitter. This was a couple years ago, where it's like modern country is basically hip hop for people who are afraid of black people.
Facts.
Like you wouldn't invite them to your house, but you share those cadences. You feel those same rhythms. You know, go for those same themes. Just something that's painted to something that you recognize, rather than
it feels safe.
Yeah,
it feels acceptable.
Right.
And then you get a little twang on it. It feels like down home.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, if you were to take those vocals out, you could have given it to any pop star. It could have been Justin Bieber.
Right.
It could have been Adam Levine. Mm-hmm. It could have been Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Whoever's the flavor, it could have been.
Right.
But because you got to put a little yeehaw in it, all of a sudden it's a country song.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so. So now to circle it back to Lil Nas X, why it's so offensive that this dude is out here talking about riding horses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's literally talking about wearing Wrangler jeans, riding horses, and you're like, that's not country enough.
Yeah.
Then what the fuck is?
Yeah. It's because he's black. Like, it is what it is. Somebody infiltrating it.
Right. Or, listen, this is the year that we are coming for everything.
Yeah. Tiger Woods is back.
that's what I think really feels like the real conversation is like. We're now getting to a place. And I think this is also thanks to, I'll say we're the pioneers of jam into the singles and the a la carte music sensibility that then feeds the streaming culture.
Yeah.
That genre and boundaries and all those things are absolutely just gatekeeping and social constructs. That are devised by an archaic business model that is no longer relevant.
Right? I've had this conversation with my white significant other and other aspects of life. It all comes down to conditioning.
Yeah,
all of us are conditioned from birth, basically, to feel a certain way about certain people and certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And country music is just another one of those things. So it's just like how for majority of the '90s, anytime you'd see a black person on TV that wasn't Denzel, he was a gangbanger.
Right. Or Will Smith.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, you have your couple that are just safe enough to, like, be these marketable stars to everyone, or just well-spoken enough to go back to that old trope.
Playing respectability politics, right. All that. Yeah.
But otherwise, you're conditioned to feel a certain type of way about things. And that works across boundaries. Like, it was always made very clear that country music was not for us.
It's like the diner that says whites only.
Yeah.
Like, you just know we don't shop here.
Right.
It's not going to be a good time. You're not. You might not walk away from this. Yeah. So just don't bother.
Right.
That's why I don't go to like metal shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't hang out at the biker bars.
Yep.
Like, I just know.
Especially because I'm confrontational enough where somebody really were to try and make it a problem, I might not make it out of there.
Right.
My mouth will get it best.
And now you gotta fight 95 motherfuckers, right. And it ain't gonna go well for you.
Yeah, historically speaking, we're not coming out.
I don't care how well you throw hands, right. You're gonna get through six.
Yeah.
But it's exactly that. It feels like culturally as a genre that we're like not allowed.
No.
Before we started recording, I was talking to shout out to my homie Roy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a handsome, bearded, like kind of hood black dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like he rocks his J's and his camo and all that. I mean, like he's that dude.
Yeah.
Right? Looking clean, whatever. But like my man's also loves Chris Stapleton.
Mm.
And he gets treated like a unicorn for it.
Right.
Because it's like he's not supposed to do that, and he's kind of a rebel.
Oh.
You know, and I feel like, honestly, like, Lil Nas X is exactly like, that's like some rock star shit. Like, honestly, when you think about it, like, how do you push against the status quo? Oh. Is what it really comes down to. Like hip-hop has already done that, and now it's the standard.
Yeah.
So, like, while that's still evolving, like, hip-hop is now hitting its emo phase.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's talking about their emotional-ass feelings, which is, like, also fine, yeah, I guess. Okay. You know? Like,
I guess that's one of the generations.
That's how Post Malone's making it. You know, we talk about, oh, my girlfriend hurt me so bad, and I have anxiety, and I take pills because I can't cope, and I don't have the mechanism.
Which, I mean, I suppose is fine. An improvement, like, it's from the toxic masculinity of hip-hop old, where if a girl did it wrong, like, you gotta beat the bitch's ass. So,
right.
I mean, yeah.
Right, so it's an evolving thing.
Right.
But
the pendulum has swung.
But once it becomes the norm, where are the revolutionary spaces where you're actually pushing against something where the real cool shit is happening?
But you also have to take into account that.
I think it's
country, bro.
I think it's, like, that's the frontier. Like,
you think?
I really think it is.
You don't think that it's not on, like, some Hendrix was ahead of his time, we could, like, wholly break into, like, rock type shit?
Okay, first off.
I mean, or did Prince ruin that for everyone? I mean that who's gonna do it as well as Prince?
Oh. Okay, let me go ahead and say this. There's a kind of a, I don't know, like a little disclaimer floating around right now. Like, I love Prince.
Me too. That's what I'm saying. Prince. Like, one of the GOATs.
However, I don't think... I think Prince's PR is actually greater than his actual talent.
Wow.
And let me explain why.
Wow.
I know. Usually,
I'm taking it back.
Yeah, usually have the hot takes.
Yeah, I guess it's your turn this week.
I'm feeling myself on this holiday weekend.
Hey, speak your truth, King.
Okay, so I'm saying... So the thing is, it's not to say that he's not talented and he's not gifted. It's not taking away from the things he actually did.
Before you get into this, that I personally feel that Prince is one of the greatest instrumentalists of my lifetime.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Okay.
That being said, what he did musically really wasn't all that groundbreaking. I think his actual lasting legacy in pop culture or in music history is actually his production skills.
Oh.
No, his production skills. His way he took the drum machines, the way he had that really sparse futuristic sound.
Yeah.
Redefined what pop music was moving from the 80s forward. Like, Prince, I actually think, laid the groundwork in a mainstream sense for hip-hop to jump forward, right? Because that notion of doing that really sparse thing and those electronic sounds, ain't nothing sounded like that.
So you credit Prince more so for what hip-hop has become rather than disco?
They all have relevancy to the development.
No, I said more.
But I think more so, yes. Because Prince was huge in a way that disco...
wasn't allowed to be?
Yes. Because disco was killed, you know, in the late 70s, right? Yeah. As a pushback. And the thing is... Okay, so you want to talk about some purist racist shit, right?
Well, yeah. Because disco was killed.
So white people killing disco didn't mean disco died. It just went back to black folks and gay folks it had been.
In the club.
Yes. Yeah, it went back to clubs where it's always been, right? Which is why then you have all of the club DJs and club acts that then come out of the clubs into the mainstream, right? But that's also kind of the end cap of the 70s going into the 80s, right? Where then Prince also evolves out of the disco. Like, they try to make him a funk act, like Earth, Wind & Fire.
Right.
He was like,
nah, son.
He realized before his first album even dropped, he's like, but that's already played out.
Right.
Like, oh no, it's the hot sound right now. He's like, that's why it's played out.
Right.
Like,
what's next?
Right. So if you listen to his debut album, it has those kind of funk disco leanings.
Yeah.
And then once you get to, like, Controversy, he's now exploring all this new frontier and really playing with the tools and taking, like, really taking control and taking some risks.
Yeah.
again, I appreciate these things. I recognize these things. But as far as, you know, like, I know people who are multi-instrumentalists.
Yeah.
I know tons of them.
Yeah.
Like, I know tons of people who are self-produced. I know tons of people who are doing all these things that Prince does, but they don't have the machine. Because, like, okay, Ray Charles was celebrated as the genius of, like, the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And then it was passed to Stevie Wonder
right.
as the genius of the 60s and 70s. 70s.
Yeah.
And then Prince carried that baton as being the genius of the 70s and 80s into the 90s, right? Yeah. That's just a PR game, really. It's about branding. This man is da 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 da, and you keep repeating that narrative enough.
Well, yeah, then he becomes
he becomes a legend,
right?
Out of PR more so, because it's like, because like,
I mean, I hear you, and I respect what you're saying.
Yeah,
I absolutely respect what you're saying. But then for me too, also being a fan of Prince, I feel like even without that machine, Prince could have basically walked onto any stage and had the presence and the talent to kill that shit.
And I also disagree with that, too. Because when he first debuted, he had stage fright. He couldn't play in front of people.
Okay, that's when he first debuted, but everybody
right,
grows.
But, right, but you have to understand, by having Warner back him in a way to allow him to play for the biggest audiences allowed him the tools to become a great showman. You see what I'm saying? Like, if he had hustled underground,
but he wouldn't have got those. But he wouldn't have got those opportunities. Bro. If his talent wasn't able to speak for himself, for them to be like, you know what?
Do you know who his first live audience was? It was Rick James fans.
Yeah.
He was on Rick James tour as his first live performance.
Yeah.
No one gets like that pass to just automatically be in front of, you know, on stage. You know what I'm saying?
Anymore.
Like, well, but I'm saying it's like, but that's the machine working for his advantage. Mm. It wasn't that he was some like, it wasn't that he was some sort of.
All right, enough of that. If Prince were to drop right now with the chops that he has, how do you think he would do as an artist?
I think he'd be a niche artist. I think the kind of modern pastiche for Prince, the one who really is kind of carrying the torch, is Janelle Monáe.
Mm.
And while she's had a lot of like mainstream success and it's like continuing to grow, she's not like killing it in the way, you know what I mean? Like she has, like the closest thing she's come to really like having a real breakthrough was Dirty Computer.
Yeah. And that was also off the strength of her having a few movie roles.
Right, right.
Like that.
So it was like the movies plus a diluted version of her own vision.
Yeah.
Because like I've been a stan
for ages.
Like day one. Right. Like, yeah. Like when Metropolis dropped, yeah. Sweet One, like I was like, this is some brilliant shit.
I became a fan when she was the big boy on the tightrope song. Let me go listen to more of her shit.
Right, right. So the thing is like she had this vision of what she was trying to do, and it's one of those things where like it's too complicated to be palatable for a mainstream audience.
It's jazz.
Exactly. In the way that Purple Rain was his palatable version of what he wanted to do,
right.
Right? Like, he had to have a Purple Rain to go diamond and have a movie and all that kind of stuff to become the icon, and then he could go and have the new Power Generation,
right?
Right? Like, it's that same kind of thing that, like, you have to have the right tools in place to get the millions of fans to get on board. And then you do the weird shit. So it's like that kind of thing. Like, so if you come out the gate doing the weird shit, like it does get really hard to like actually have like a really big splash, especially now in the streaming age where like everything is niche.
Yeah.
Like,
not only that, but I mean,
everything is niche.
You also have your life is no longer dictated by what's allowed to be played on the radio. I don't even listen to radio anymore.
Right.
Like I don't give a fuck. And most of my new music then is like I'll go on Spotify or whatever. And it'll be like, oh, based on the shit that you like, here's a curated playlist. And then I'll discover a new artist. I'm like, oh, let me go listen to some more of their shit.
Right.
From there.
Right.
So, all right then. So, let's circle back to the little knots. Because like I said, your opinion's valid. I won't go as far as to co-sign it, but I respect it.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I appreciate that.
So then circling back to Lil Nas X, who is a self-proclaimed troll. Kids, like I said, he's 18, maybe 19 now. And he's on Twitter, and he's doing that. Like, so this kid, when I say he's a troll, like, he did, all right,
whoever meets me at this location, he puts like a picture of a building on Twitter of like, you'll hear new music first. And then so people figured out where this picture was. Shut up. It's like, yo, where's he at? He's like, hey, I guess I need you guys to understand I am, have been, and always will be a troll first and foremost.
Ain't that the most like,
this is the most relevant, beautiful thing, abuse to popularity I've ever seen in my life. Like, just lovely. I can't be mad.
That's the internet generation,
right? So being a self-proclaimed troll,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
where do you see his comic going? What's he gonna do? What's next?
You know, I was actually having this conversation yesterday in some other circles. Because
other circles.
All right, well, this is the one that matters right now.
Always.
Well, you know, on the branding side, so now that he's signed to a label, which I think was a terrible mistake.
Yeah, I agree.
They're going to ask for more Old Town Road.
No. He's going to need to drop 3 albums worth of Old Town Road before he can get out of that shit.
Yeah, right. And no matter what he wants to do creatively, I mean, he might be able to leak some shit on SoundCloud and go left, but like, the thing that's going to get pushed, the thing that they're going to want to keep cashing in on, is him as the guy who blends country and hip hop.
Yeah.
They're taking a rare lightning rod kind of moment, and they're going to try to build a career around that.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to be futile because it was so organic, and you cannot recreate organic moments like that. Like, you can try to orchestrate it, and you might get kind of lucky.
Yeah.
Like, he might have a good follow-up.
Yeah.
Because there is that curiosity of, like, well, what are you going to do next?
Payola's still very much alive, so you know whatever he does is going to end up on some curated playlist
or
radio or whatever.
Right. So like, that being said, like, it'll probably do okay. Will it be good or be as interesting? No. If anything, like, I would actually think it would be best if he stay away from music now for a minute. Like, he had his moment. Go do some other stuff until there's a fever pitch.
Yeah.
To be like, give us something new or we're going to come after you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he needs to get on some Frank Ocean shit and be like,
yeah.
So, you got anything else? Nah, bro.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Like, if they let him just continue
being... But I think even before he does that, though, he needs to drop... an entire, at least playlist worth of shit that's gonna have people on the hook.
Yeah, well, because
I mean, off of one song, nobody's gonna come at him 2 years from now and be like, "Yo, we need something new."
Did you watch the video?
I did.
Put out?
Yeah, which is a whole nother topic, and is fucking nuts. The people that he got into this video.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but here's so to just boil it down without doing a full dissection of this thing.
He made a Western movie, like a short film.
Right, right. But the thing is, he also painted himself as a character of a cowboy.
Right.
The thing is, people are not smart enough to get satire and caricatures.
Yeah.
It's like Digital Underground was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what launched Tupac.
Right.
Okay? No one gives a fuck about Digital Underground. They want the Humpty Dance.
It's true. That's true.
Despite all the good shit that they did, the groundbreaking, like, that California vibe, all that shit, like, does not matter. It pales in comparison to the Humpty Dance.
Right.
Which is just...
is a bop.
Right. But it was a dude who just put on a fake nose and glasses and did a...
My name was Humpty.
Yeah. Like, that was him doing a caricature.
Yeah.
Because Americans... this has nothing to do with race whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Americans culturally love stereotypes and cartoons and caricatures.
I mean, you can look at the same thing and in the same time frame, Sir Mix-a-Lot with Big Butts.
Yeah.
Yeah, the song was a bop. Mix-a-Lot was a beastly fucking lyricist and producer, and nobody cares.
No one even knows. Yeah, no one gives a shit. Baby Got Back is everything.
Right.
Him standing on some giant, like,
buns.
Ass cheeks means more. And so either he's going to have to lean into that further and be a kind of a comedy act.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, this will be his thing, and everything
else...
Dude,
just do tons of behind-the-scenes shit to keep growing his pockets.
Right.
That's really what he ended up doing.
Right. And I think, honestly, like, in the spirit of a troll, I think he should keep pushing those buttons and making all these white people mad and keep doing all the country ass things. Again, nothing to do with music. Show up at rodeos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, bring a white girl to the CMAs. You know what I mean? Like really fuck these people's lives up and keep trolling them.
He should let Taylor Swift write an album about him.
Go date Taylor Swift. Yeah. Lil Nas X, listen. Yeah, go date Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Please.
Turn her out.
Can't nobody tell me nothing.
I'm just saying, like, in the sense of, like, she'll never go back. Like, yeah. I need you to do that.
Yeah.
That should be your goal. Or at least get you, I'll let her go platinum off of your name. Like, oh, this nigga blew my back out and I don't know what to do with myself. Let me go write this nigga. Like, my daddy's gonna be mad. He's gonna cut me from the label he bought. Like, there's just so many options, bro.
But you know what? Maybe she'll finally have a happy relationship because black men don't cheat.
True. It's true. Doesn't mean they won't love you and leave you, though.
Thanks.
I'm a realist. But yeah, I mean, like, when it comes down to it, yeah, I want all the good things for this kid, and I want people to keep being mad at him. Because when people are mad at you, it means you're doing something worth talking about.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you now got a deal with Wrangler, and their Wrangler of all brands is selling $130 jeans off the name of Lil Nas X is wild to me. And I wish kid nothing but success. Like, nothing but success.
Yo, same. Like, you know, Old Town Road is a fucking banger. You can't convince me otherwise.
I need him to perform at a NASCAR event. Like, just
that's
completely.
That's what I'm saying. Or like, you know what? Go be an opener for, I don't know, Jason Aldean or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, really just stick it to him.
Or even if you're talking about marrying the genre, go be the opening act on Florida Georgia Line's next tour.
Or let Florida Georgia Line
open for you. Yeah. Yo,
because you know they want niggas money.
Oh, absolutely. Who doesn't? We're $1.2 trillion.
Lil Nas X and Cardi B. That would also, I think, be really, like, you know what I mean.
Seeing the sea of whiteness at the Cardi B show, I can see it.
Because I think that's the other feasible move, which is just. Don't do an album. Just do features for a couple years.
Yeah.
So just show up on everybody else's thing.
Yeah.
Do some Yeehaw Cowboy shit. So you can hit all of those little, like, cross promotional things.
Right.
And so then you almost have an album or albums worth of features.
Yeah. Which give me a troll track. Give me an actual real troll track of Lil Nas X and Lil Dicky.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. Like Freaky Friday Part 2, but like with race bending. You know what I mean? Like, so I guess, I mean, Freaky Friday did that, but
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, take that step farther. Like,
take the next one. Mm-hmm. The next one.
Yeah.
So you think you'll expand your country taste from this experience?
No.
Why not?
Sonically, it still just doesn't, overall, like, without. New country just still sonically doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Same with, like, Screamo.
Yeah.
I don't really like people yelling at me in songs. The closest I'll get to that is DMX. Like, but, like, legit, like, screaming at me, like, you know, like, it doesn't do it for me. And, like, the country twang, sparingly, it's cool.
Yeah.
But I think, for me, the only reason Old Town Road works is because it's a country song over a trap beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's really the only reason it works for me,
brief.
Sonically.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it doesn't wear out for me to get sick of it. So, yeah. I think that's why that works. But, yeah, for me to, like, go and just listen to actual other country acts, no. And it's because, as we were talking about before we started the show, you get to a point where you dissect things that you are well-versed in. And for me to listen to modern country music, it's like, this is really just diet hip-hop without fully committing. And if you're not going to commit, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I think that's why I at least respect Lil Nas X. Like, Lil Nigga committed.
Yeah.
You know? he committed. I'm like, you know what? All right. I respect it.
Oh, my God. I love that bit in the video where he's having that street race on his horse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he's dapping these niggas up afterwards. Yep. Like, they're like, all right, fam.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm in here now.
Right, basically. Yeah. And then he goes to the bingo hall.
And then Chris Rock.
Of all people.
Who's doing some crazy shit now that he's divorced. Like, I feel like Chris Rock is, like, finally feeling free. Like,
yeah.
So he did Tambourine, right?
Yeah.
And now he's popping up in shit like this. And then he, as the writer and producer, is rebooting the Saw franchise.
I heard about that.
I always enjoy the idea of comedians doing dark things. Yeah. Because most comedians are dark, like, humans. Inherently.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's in there.
There's a cynicism.
Right.
It's just in them, which makes them funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Or and observant. So part of me now is like, is Chris riding the Jordan Peele wave, or is he really about to, like, fuck some shit up? I'll at least give it a chance.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
I liked the first Saw, and that was about it.
Yeah.
I usually, like, as soon as something like franchises, I'm like, oh, it's not gonna be, yeah. Like,
for
like
me, what was interesting about the first one porn, is
it's not a,
yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Saw 2.
Yeah.
The one where old, big, muscly Latino gang member throws little skinny white girl into the pit of dirty hypodermic needles. And she's like digging around for a key. And so she has like all these needles sticking out. But I was done. I was like, yeah, I don't need to, no thanks. And that actually, I think, is what killed basically my interest in what could be considered the horror genre. Like, when it became like snuff films, I was like, yeah, I'm good. There's like no suspense to this. Like, or like a Hostel, there's a part where they like burned out somebody's eyeball with a torch. And I was like, nope, I'm good. I can't.
Yeah, there's no need for that.
Yeah.
Like, I think Jordan Peele also proved it. Like, tell us a good story, create some legitimate tension.
Yeah.
And that's scary enough.
Right.
You know, like, you don't need to mutilate nobody.
That's true.
Like, it is. But I think that's a conversation for another day.
Right.
Yes. So, obviously, thanks to our sponsors for making this possible. Android DSM, Power Up.
And Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love, not cocaine. If you got some feelings about this, or you want to argue about country music and Lil Nas X's place in it, or what it could be / is becoming, don't forget, you can now leave us voice messages. And, of course, hit us up on our social medias.
You know, or if you just want to drop some country bangers that you feel like we need to hear.
Yeah, I'll give it a chance.
If we've clocked out too soon and you know, like, I'm always down to hear some new shit. Like,
expand my horizons,
dude. I'm a music fan. Like, yeah. I'm here to soak it in. So drop us some of your favorite tracks and things that we should, you know, give a chance to and give it a listen. And, you know, we'll get around to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Catch y'all next week. Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right. Peace.